Always good. I went home last night thinking about the message Brother Michael preached on the ointment and covered up Brother Willis and myself with it, and I really felt like I was really anointed. I feel this morning still anointed. And I feel like a message like that will last throughout eternity, not just in this world here, but in the one to come. And I appreciate Brother Michael very much, but he still owes us a box of Kleenex he used up here last night. And I gathered all of them up that was there in the floor and all and put them in my pockets and put them in the van, and I was going to take them out, so I got them in the van out there now. I might just keep them. That's a little precious ointment right there that this morning coming down the road, I was eating a sandwich and reached over and got one of them and wiped my mouth a little bit with it. I couldn't help but to cry. Think about the box of ointment. Think about Brother Michael and what he goes through to carry the gospel across the country, away from his family and his wife and his kids. And he's been here and blessed us so many times. He's back with us here next summer. We pray that God will bless him and let him come back, and we'll get him all the napkins, the paper towels, and whatever he wants if he just keeps on anointing. Praise God for it. Have your Bibles. I'd like you to go with us to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Say, while you're turning, we appreciate this congregation, and I feel very honored to stand after looking at 25 to 30 good men of God over the house. I feel like I'm the least of the least. But I appreciate the opportunity. I enjoy being the pastor of this church. Been here for a long time. I guess Brother Charles and myself has been about the longest of anybody in the churches that across the country. Of course, I left here for a while, but then I was sitting one evening after I left the church where I was at. Gone from here about 10 years, and I told my wife, I said, I'll never pastor again. I'm not going to quit preaching, but I don't intend to ever pastor anymore. And she said, I hear you. In about 30 minutes, I dozed off to sleep, and she said, you want it on the phone. And Hugh Beaver called me. I'm talking about the same in 30 minutes after I said it, that he wants to talk to you on the phone. And he said, Brother C.L., we are the Methodist church, and we wondered if you would consider coming back and being our pastor. I said, oh, I'd come and talk to you. He said, I can't believe that. So I did. I've been back, you're going on 5 years again. And I'm going to stay another 25 years, and I'm going to quit. I'm going to just not even pastor at all after another 25 years. I'm glad to be in service this morning with my daughter and my son and a lot of the grandkids and a lot of friends from Alabama and True Church and all over the place and Highway and all the different ones that stood here with us. Brother Harold, glad to be in church with you. Harold Hambrick is a real friend. I tell people everywhere that Harold Hambrick is the best that I know of. He don't get upset with nobody. You can treat him like any way you want to, and he can smile and walk on and tell him he loves him. He's that kind of fellow. Always has been, from all the way up. He used to come to my house, and about 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, I tell him, I said, Harold, are you going home or go to bed? And he'd get up and go home. We had a good time together, had a good relationship, and still do, and I love him from the depths of my heart. If you found your place in John chapter 4, I want you to turn, stand with us. And we're going to start in about verse 24. Verse 24 of chapter 4. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said unto him, I know that a Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto you am he. You may be seated. Thank you. Now, in this, this whole chapter is dedicated, so to speak, to this woman. Probably the most written in throughout the Bible of one person is captured in this one chapter all the way through. And so we'll be jumping around maybe in the whole thing. But you know where it's coming from. It's what we are known as a Jesus of the woman at the well. And he said he must have need to go through Samaria. He knew she was there, but she didn't know he was coming. But he knew where she was and where she was going to be. He knows where you are and where you need to be. He knows all about it. So we want to go down now a little further in that chapter and read some there where that she said in verse 29, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Now, You remember that Jesus said that he must have need to go through Samaria. But I want you to remember this verse that we read to you there, to where this woman in verse 25 is one I want you to really pay close attention to. The woman said unto him, I know that a Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. Now, this is probably one of the most lost, sinful women there was in the country, or in the town, or in the county, whatever. But she said, I know. She didn't ask somebody. She said, I know that a Messiah cometh, and which is called Christ, and when he comes, he'll tell us all things that we ever do. And she, at this time, had been married 5 times, living with a man that wasn't her husband. And I look back on this, and I wonder somewhere back down the road. Now, this is not by but I look around and see people today that's out of church and people that's living a life about like she's lived that I know years ago was in the church, and they had one husband, and today they've had dozens of them, and not that many but a lot of them, and they living with one now that's not their husband in the time that we live. But then you talk to them and they say, I remember when I was in church. That's what she's saying here. I remember when I was in church, and I remember the preacher preaching that they've won a Messiah that's coming, his name Jesus. When he comes, he'll tell us all things that we ever done. Did you know today Jesus is coming back? And when he comes back this time, he's not going to worry about telling you all things you ever done. He already knows that. He's done come, and he's left the message here for you, and he's left the opportunity for you to get saved. He's left the opportunity. You don't have to live that kind of life. And when he comes the first time, it was mercy and grace. And when he comes back, it's going to be judgment and death. When he comes back the next time, he's not going to come back and go to the well and sit down to give somebody a drink of that water. You've had the water and drank all your life. Before he come, he said he come to do the will of him that sent him. And you remember when, I believe it's down here, maybe in verse 34, Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And on the cross, when he died for our sins, he said, Father, it is finished. It's finished. He said, this is what I come for, and I have finished it up. And his disciples come to him and says, now, Master, we want you to eat. And he said, I have meat that you know not of. They looked at one another and said, has anybody brought him any meat? Has anybody fed him? They said, no. But he said, I've got meat that you don't know about. A meat from the Father. He said, I come to do the Father's will, and I'll finish the Father's will. And on the cross, he said, Father, it's finished, and bowed his head and give up the ghost and went back to heaven. You remember up on the top of the mountain after the that he'd already rose from the dead, and even before that, and he told his disciples, he said, it's going to be good for you and I go away, because if I don't go away, the comforter won't come, and the comforter will comfort your heart and guide you in the ways of truth and right. And today there's no call for preachers or nobody else running around and doing the things they do in this world, and churches tearing up, because somebody has gone back on God. Somebody's gone back. That woman said in that verse 25, and she said unto him, I know that a Messiah cometh, and when he which is called Christ, and when he does, he's going to tell us all things that we've ever done. Brother, he's coming back, and the book of remembrance is being written of whatever we've done. Did you know there's no way on earth that a God-called man can just throw in the towel and quit and be halfway satisfied? I don't know how he can do it. I just, as Jeremiah said, it burns in my bones. I have people tell me of one or two especially friends of mine that they give up preaching when they're about 60 years old so they can get their motorhome and go all over the world, ain't it? And that would be mighty nice, and I thought a lot about it, but preaching the gospel means more to me than the motorhome does. And I also have to tell me, one slid up beside me in a church the other day and put his arm around me and said, Brother Pirates, don't stay with them until the church just goes dead on you. Don't do that. Brother, I believe God can keep a church alive as long as I'm alive. When I die, then the church will die. And I can die spiritually if I get away from God. But I'm not going to, because I'm going to go to the well every time I get thirsty. I'm going back. I'm going back to the fountain. There is a fountain that flows right out the front of God. I thought, what about Revelation when it talked about there's a throne? Under the throne flows a river right out in front of the crystal and trees on each side. And I thought about in one of these days of getting to sit down beside of that river and throw my feet over it and look at old Peter and John and Paul and all those that stayed before me. Went through a whole lot. Peter, when it come time for him to die, he said, just crucify me upside down. I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord. Yeah. I'm not either. I'm not worthy to be called a minister. But I thank God that he seemed fit to do it to me. And I thank God for the church that seemed fit to call me for their pastor. I thank Brother Charles for asking me to do this today. Not that I'm the best there is, but I want to be the best. And Jesus' eyes, I want to be the best. I'm not trying to please man. I'm not trying to please myself. I will please God. I thank God for all He's done. And you know, it's very easy sometimes through life. We don't watch it when a lot of bad things come our way, a thing that we think are bad. And when it does, we don't watch it. We get bitter toward God and get bitter toward the church, get bitter with ourselves and grow old with bitterness in our hearts and lives and come to be contrary after we've had a good life and we come nearly to the end of it. We'll turn into hate and our family don't mean nothing to us no more. But I want God to get filled. May we love the old right here.
Amen.
I will always be. I will always be where that my children come around and my friends and whoever they are, that I can hug their neck and give them the last thing that I got and tell it from the depth of my heart that I love you.
Amen.
I have got that down so much till I got a neighbor over there that just I just think the world out of it. Sat over one night and I looked at her and I started to leave and I got up and I looked at his wife and I told him, I said, I love you. It hit me when I got the door. This man might not know. He's not in church with me. And he don't know what I'm talking about. But I love you as a man. I love you as a woman on the spiritual Christian side of life. I love everybody. And I ain't figured out that way.
Amen.
I'm not going to have enemies. I'm not going to make enemies. I'm not going to accept enemies. It doesn't make any difference whether you like me or whether you don't like me. I still like you. And I still love you. I love you. I love all people. And we got to love one another. This is what's the matter. We've got the one we want to love and not love. But them that's not lovable, boy, when I think about myself, when Jesus comes, I wouldn't love them for nothing. I was just lost and undone and on my way to hell. And didn't feel like I had a friend that didn't want a friend. Wouldn't have made a whole lot of difference. Wouldn't have mattered. I felt like I could handle life by myself. I didn't need nothing. Didn't need nobody. But how little did I know that I needed everybody. And I needed Jesus. And He come my way knowing that I needed Him. He come with mercy and grace. He come. Mercy and grace. Peace. That's what He come. He come to bring. And this woman that day, he said, I have need to go through Samaria. And when he got there, he sat down and waited. He knew who was coming that way. And when she come, he began to talk to her and ask for a drink. And she said, me being a Samaritan, you being a Jew. You know, we don't have dealings with one another. The Jews don't like Samaritan people. And they don't today. They still think they're dogs today. I was over there, and Brother Charles said back to and he probably heard him say it too. When we went through Samaria on our bus tour over there, I was with him on that trip. And the guy said that the Samaritan people out there were still. In other words, the way he put it down, I don't know exact words he used, but they were still dogs in an outcast. And they were so mentally off and all this kind of stuff. He had a Jew guide and that's what he was telling us about the the Samaritan people. That they was nothing. They was outcast. Well, here Jesus went to the down and out. Everywhere you read in the gospel, Jesus didn't go to the up and up, but He went to the down and out. And brother, I was down and out, wasn't fitting to live, wasn't fitting to die, and He come to my way one day. And He offered me a drink of water, and I accepted it. That girl looked at Him, that woman at that well, she looked at Him, and she said, the well's deep enough, and you don't have a rope, you don't have a bucket, you don't have anything, and where are you going to get this water? But Jesus was the water. He was the well. He was everything. He said, you'll drink this water and you'll thirst again. But the water I give you will flame up in you as a well of living water and you won't thirst anymore. She said, give me this water that I won't come here to draw. I want to mention a few things that she left. The first thing she left was her water pot. And she left City Wind and the next thing she done in her life, she become to be a missionary real quick. Went back into town where all the men she had shacked up slap-willed and maybe been drunk-willed, and probably, and the Bible don't say anything about it, but maybe some kids and things that was just up and down the street passing and starved to death, but she went back trying to make amends for all that. And said, I want you to come see a man that told me all things that I ever done. I want you to come see it. And many of them followed her back out there. And the Bible said when it was over, they looked at her and said, we believe not because of you, but we believe because we've seen for ourselves. I trust today that you'll see for yourself, that you'll look past me, that you'll look past everything, that you'll look past all your circumstance, that you'll look past your hypocrite, that you'll look back past whatever you think about me, and you'll see Jesus in the picture. That's what I want to present to you today is Jesus. He's the one. There's no way that I could do a whole lot for you. I don't have a lot to do with, and don't have a lot of knowledge, don't have a lot of education. I have Jesus, and that's it. And that's all I got. I've got the living water. And I'll tell you, when you drink of this water, you won't thirst again. You know, it thrills my heart when I think about the good old preachers and good old saints of God, of this daddy gone on that worked with me and kept on with me until they got me where I need to be. I look back now, and I go back sometimes some of the graves where some of them that, and some of them was a relative of mine, my old father-in-law, and my wife's granddaddy, and they just loved me no matter what I was. Yeah. And they would try to make me think I was so good and I was so great till I couldn't do anything wrong because I'd hurt them too much. Yeah. And they just loved and went on and tucked me into the family. And I look around at the old preacher I used to work with, and that great big old hands and things, I'd say, why don't you, sometimes I tell him, why don't you just leave me alone and get somebody else, but he didn't. He had what I needed. He had the water that I needed to drink of. And I look back and I think so much about it. Did you know that old preacher, I had the privilege of conducting his funeral about 30 years later after he kept on at me, and I talked to him and I thought about that funeral. I'd love to just pull him out of the casket, woke him up a little while and tell him, man, I'm sorry about everything I ever said to you. You never know which way life's going to lead. But I know which way to go now. I know where I'm going. I know who he is. When he said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And going on down, and the woman said unto him, I know that a Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he cometh, he'll tell us all things that we ever done. Jesus said, I am he. Can you imagine if we were talking to somebody and he'd be Christ and I'm he? Standing right there face to face, you know, spiritual, we can do that. Sometimes I wake up, I'm bad to dream, real bad to dream. Bad to keep people awake that's in the house with me dreaming. I preach a lot in my sleep, and I pray a lot in my sleep. And my wife used to just get up and go to the couch, and she said, I'd ask her sometime in the morning how she's doing. She said, well, I'm doing good. I got repented last night in your message. She said, I would give an invitation and everything in it. And then I'd say, amen, and go to sleep. And you know, to me, my sleep is sweet, and I enjoy it. And sometimes, even last night with one of them nights, that I don't know where I woke Tosca up or not, but it sure woke me up a time or two. But when I got up, I'm not sad when I get up, because it always finishes up real good. Now, that's the only thing I know is preaching. And like a fellow told me one day, he said, I don't know nothing else but singing. I don't know nothing else but preaching. And I'm not going to try real hard to find out anything else, because this is the best part of life, is getting to preach God's Word. That's why I thank my church 100 times over. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. God called me to preach, but you give me the opportunity, and God could give me such a lovely bunch of people, and all these wonderful preachers. Brother Charles and I go back, and he was a young man, and I was too, and he was already in the ministry, and he was on the ordination service and the examining committee when I was last and ordained back years ago. We've come a long way together and had a good time. It's been a good life all the way down. Ain't been a lot of places, and they've been places that wasn't too happy and too comfortable, but after a while, we look at everything God does. He does it for us, not against us. He's not against us to start with. We all go through rough places. When we do, and it smooths out, it brings us closer to heaven and closer to one another. I've never, ever, could have ever, ever been placed in a better place than I am right here when God's taken my wife. I could have never been nowhere to be treated any better than this. I've been treated like a king. I've been treated like a royal, just like I was in heaven. And all these people, these have fed me and loved me and give me money and sent us on our trip to Texas and whatever. And I don't know what we would have done if it had not been for you. And all you people in Alabama and wherever from that knew about all this was praying. And a lot of phone calls, a lot of cards from different churches. It's been a wonderful life no matter what happened. Come and go. It's been a good life. And I wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. Thank God for it. It's getting closer than it was. I wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. But when I look around, and the other day I come standing at the door back there, and the two little, Toby's two little kids, Gracie had a birthday, and she come by and I gave her $5. And here come the little one by and says, "Where's mine?" I looked at my billfold. I didn't have nothing else but a 20. I called Grace back. This is her birthday. I said, "Give me the 20. And give me the 5, and I give Caitlin the 5, give Grace the 20. So I was going to get by with $5, but I wound up $25. But it was still a good deal. We got a good hug out of both of them. And they, it's wonderful to house kids and grandkids and great grandkids and have a church and be loved and needed and wanted through this world. I've prayed a lot of prayer to do now. God, don't let me be an old sour prune. Let me respect my family, and then they'll respect me. Let me respect you as a church and love you, and you'll love me. And I feel like it, I'll know, and you will too, when it's time for me to step down. And I just feel like God takes care of the thing that we can't. And He'll put it in our hearts and minds, and He'll give me this opportunity to preach this morning. Brother Charles was in charge of this meeting. Told me last night he wanted to preach. I got home, and I said, I wished I had told him to do it. I told this pastor this morning, I said, I'm going to tell Brother Charles to preach. I'm not able to preach. I want him to do it. I'm not qualified to preach to this kind of congregation with these kind of people and preachers. Told Brother Charles, he said, "No, I want you to do it. You're the pastor." I do fairly good up here with them because they love me. They know I'm ignorant and unlearned and things. They just love me anyhow. But I do hate to try to preach to a bunch of real preachers like this. I know they love me, but I know they're still a man of God that can feed me more than I can feed them. And even though I try. But Jesus said, "I come to do the will of Him that sent me. I come to do it, and I come to finish it." And on the cross, he bowed his head after one of the fellows on the cross with him, the thieves. And one of them said, "If you're Christ, won't you save yourself and come down and save us, lest we all perish?" The other said, rebuked him, and he said, "We're getting justice for what we've done." He said, "Just remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And he said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." And bowed his head, and he said, "Father, it's finished." He gave the woman to well and drink of water. He gave the thief on the cross the right to eternal life. And he went on out, and he said, "Father, now it's finished," after he'd been beaten and things. And he gave me a chance. He gave you a chance. Amen. He gave your children a chance. And today we're going to have a chance when he comes back. And this next time he comes, he's not going to come and go to the wells to give you a drink of water. Wow. He's not going to give you the opportunity. I believe this woman, some worse than another, had been in somebody's church because she's here some preaching that a Messiah come. And when he gets here, he's going to tell us all things. And he's going to bring to our remembrance some things. I believe she'd been in somebody's church. Well, she had another opportunity with 5 husbands, and one she's living with wasn't her husband. Sound like some of the things that got going on in the world today, don't it? They'll just like them. And some of these people today, I've been in the home to try to help and pray with them. And they'll tell me with their glass of beer, their hand, or their liquor or something, and they'll tell me that them and Jesus has got it all worked out. Jesus is not at the well. He said he'd go away, the Spirit of God. When he was here, he was in one place. But he said, "It'll be good for you if I do go away. If I don't go, the Comforter won't come. And when he comes, it can teach you the way of all truth and right." In the upper room, when they were gathered there, as he told them, "You go back and you tarry till you endue with power from on high." Jesus could have given the power, but he went back to the Father and said, "Father, it's finished, and I want you to send back the power of the Holy Ghost." And he sent it back. And this old big world today, probably across all across the places this Sunday, somewhere else, and they're still gathered in churches and gathered in funerals and gathered in this or that and the other, and like we gather here in this camp meeting across all across the world, and this Holy Spirit today is flowing all over the world. And the angels of God can take it wherever it's needed, and they can leave enough for them and go on down and take it to somebody else, and they never run out of the food, never run out of the Holy Spirit. It never plays out. It just keeps on going. Every time that I get lonely and down and out and feel like I can't make it any longer, God sends the angel by with another little basket of that Holy Ghost and gives it to me. And it puts me where I can go on down. And I think about Jesus. He said, "Father, it's finished. It's finished. One day my life will be finished." But one day I'll be on the other side, walk down Heaven's Avenue and hear and say, welcome in. That's true and faithful service. You've been faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many. Be able to see the things on the other side. Down here we see through a glass darkly, but then we'll see face to face, or we'll see as we are. I don't know all about the thing that's going to be on the other side, but I'll have to read about them and try to understand them. I don't understand them. I meet people that knows all about it. They can tell you all the streets in heaven. They can tell you the signs up there, and they can tell you where you're going to live, what you're going to do. You're going to live in a big house with a lot of rooms. But my Bible tells me I'm going to have a mansion. I don't believe some of this stuff that they write. Did you know when you pick up your Bible, when I was a lost person, and if I'd have wanted a Bible and went to the store, you'd have went in there and asked for what? A Holy Bible. What would you have got? You got a King James Bible. You wouldn't have thought nothing about trying to see what kind of Bible you're going to get. And the day is different. We've got all kinds. We got Bibles out there, the Muslims and everything else. Didn't know they even believe there is a God. All of these. Somebody says, well, we ought to be able to just use any Bible we want to. Not in my church you won't.
Yes.
Not in my church you won't. Not in my house you won't.
Yes.
I'm going to stand firm as long as the Lord gives me breath in my body. There's one Bible, and they'll put a Holy Bible on all of them. But it ain't no more holy than nothing. It's a rotten, it's dirt. You do just about as well off with being out the playboy. Don't allow that junk. You really would. Somebody says, well, I've heard some pretty good messages coming from other Bibles. I hadn't. I don't even know what they're talking about. When they start talking about, they say we need to get the vows and delays and things out of the Bible. I love every bit of it. You would too if you just pick it up and study it and read it. And boy, it comes to be precious and precious and precious. And He'll keep you. He'll keep your children. He'll take care of it. And we don't need to take away or add to God's Word. That's why I like this organization right here on that today. And if I've got somebody in here that don't believe in what I'm saying when it comes to what I'm saying about the Bible, and you say, well, you ought not to offend them, I won't offend them. I intend to. That's why I said it. Now, the Bible is something other than I will defend. That's something that I'll fight for. That's something a fellow asked me one day, said, what if somebody gets up in your stand and preaches another Bible? What are you going to do? Set them down. I said, you better believe it.
Absolutely.
I'll set them down. The trouble of it is, they ain't going to get up here to start with. I'm going to know what kind of Bible they got and where they come from and where they plan on going before they get here. This is what keeps your church in shape and keeps it going. I don't have to straighten out some of the mess they make then if you don't let them get up here and make a mess. I'm not perfect. They won't use the King James Bible. They could beat me, probably all the people are priests, but they're not going to use some other kind of Bible to do it.
Amen.
I don't want to be beat with another Bible. I'm not going to. I don't want to be beat down with a ball bat, so to speak. Jesus said He'd come. And He'd come to finish it. And when on the cross He said, Father, it's finished. I want to finish this life. I want to finish this thing. And I said that when I started out. I want to see this end of this gospel track that I was on, if God let me live as an old out country preacher. I've studied hard. I've worked hard. I've been blessed beyond measure. And still are. It's been a good life, and it's been some rough places in it that I thought I wasn't going to make through. But I have. Always, when the finance would play out or whatever, it would always wind up. Wrecked a car one time down the road. Didn't even, just from pastoring this church, I didn't take nothing for my pastor, and I paid my own way, and trying to raise money to build another church and things with. And God would bless us, and I wrecked my car. It wasn't worth but about $1,000 when I wrecked it, towed it out. And I didn't know what in the world I was going to do. And by night, I had $1,600 getting into it with. Sure did. God could. Had an old car wrecked it, saved my life, and give enough money to buy me a new one. Go on. I tell you, I could stand and drag on God all day long how great He is. He did come. And He did finish. And He finished it all on the cross and bowed His head. Beat up and crown the thorns on His head. His Father is finished. It's finished. Up on the top of Mount Olive, He told His disciples, said, you go back to Jerusalem. And you tarry there till you endue with power from on high. They come back. Brother Charles, you remember that evening when we went into the upper room?
Yes.
Went in there and I had one of the worst sinus headaches I ever had. And I told my wife, I said, I'm not going in there. And I couldn't stay out. And I went, and I got over the corner. I said, I hope I don't get involved in this. Brother Charles got shouting some of them around there. First thing you know, I didn't have a headache and had no sinus problem. I got out in the middle of the floor, and it seemed like all the apostles had come and gathered around, and angels had poured out all over the place. And it's the best time I ever had. When it's over, my wife said, how about your head? I said, what head? We can use all kinds of things for a crutch to keep us from getting the blessings from God. The devil will fix us that way. Get him a black eye. Get him out of your life. Get in there anyhow. Think of swim. I'll guarantee you'll swim every time when you do. This woman went to the well an ordinary day, long about sundown, the sixth hour of the day, which would have been probably 6 o'clock in the afternoon, about sundown. It's a normal thing for her to take her bucket, live in a rotten life, and take that bucket and go to that well and try to hope they don't have something for supper. And here it says a man, there that's a Jew, and he said to give this, she'd ask of him, he'd give her a drink. And she said, you don't have a bucket, you don't have a rope, you don't have nothing to get it well. Other words, where are you going to get the water? But he said, I can give you water, living water. It'll spring up in you as well as the water. You won't have to come back here no more. And she went on talking to him and talking to her. And she didn't need the water as much as she thought she did. She left her pot and went back home. And then any other time, she said, we can't go to bed without this water. We got to have it. After like a lot of people have got their drink. We can't go to bed without it. We got to have it. Jesus come into your life and you won't know nothing about where it's at. If you have it, just pour it out. We got a man right now that comes to this church here all the time, a real friend of mine. I spent the night with him several times after midnight until he passed out and things and take his liquor and pour it out for me. And he tell me, he said, you can't come in a man's house and do that. I said, I already have. I said, the Holy Ghost is in here right now. And I pour it out, and he never did jump on me. And he kept telling me that sometimes he's going to hurt me, but he never did. And he loves me to death. And he's sobered up now, and he's in church here almost every Sunday. And I feel like with all my heart that God helped me, and I lost a lot of sleep and working with him, but he turned out to be the best friend I got. He's a good fellow. I won't call his name, but he's a wonderful person. He's now a grandfather, got grandkids and things, and he's doing good in life. And I thank God that I took the opportunity to help him out in my way and let Jesus into his heart and life. We need to have patience. Jesus, when he met people like that, when he met this woman, he didn't take her and put her under his foot. He sees those mercy and grace was here. But mercy and grace is going to disappear one day. Jesus is coming back, and this real church is going to meet him in the air, and all those others that's left down, he has had the opportunity to accept all this mercy and grace, and they're not going to have it no more. He's not going to come back to the well to give you a drink again. He's got it right now, spiritually floating around. The Holy Ghost of God can give you a bath in the Holy Ghost of God and clean you up and make you a fit subject for the kingdom of God. Get us a verse of a song ready. Let Brother Charles do whatever he needs to do. If you feel like praying, it'd be a good time to come.
Yeah.
I thank God for mercy and grace. I thank him for it. And we'll live in that time, but one day that'll be over. It'll be over. And we need to right now to be able to get before Jesus, before the altar, before one another. I don't understand when I see people that family and brothers and sisters that when mom and dad passes away and then they want to fuss over a $2 bill and see if they can quarter it up and get the thing turned around. I don't understand that. I told my brothers and things when this happened in our home, there was no problem, and they asked me this and that and the other. I said, boys, just take whatever's there, what all of it. If there's anything left, if it needs to go in the trash, I'll put it there. If it's any good, I'll take it home with me. But we won't be no problem. There ain't going to be no problem. And because God brought me this far, and I'll go the rest of the way. Well, we never did have any. Just one person can create up all these problems over some little something that ain't worth a flame, and they'll probably throw it away after they get it, but just want to show somebody else that they can do it. And it's a sad time. It's a sad time. Living in a time of mercy and grace, when we could pray for guidance and pray for strength and pray for a love for one another and be able to take whatever comes. Not many people are willing to say. Every once in a while, you meet somebody on the streets and things. It's just crazy and wild. Or in automobiles and things. I've had them to just stop me and want to whoop me, and I didn't even know what it's all about. Something I didn't do right on the road. I don't know what I've done. But I just nod my head or whatever I had to until it's over and let them stand there and jump and jerk, mad as they could be, because you didn't do this and do that and the other. I had a fellow one day to come to me, and he was wanting to whoop me because my father-in-law stopped in front of him with a school bus, and he was late getting to work. And I wasn't even driving. And he'd done that for several times. I'm serious. And he would hunt me up every morning just to get to cuss me out. That fellow today is still living, and he got saved. And when he got saved, I was the first person he wanted to come and tell. Today we're good friends. Not too long ago, I was down South Georgia, and I went into a Cracker Barrel, and his wife was sitting over there, and he was gone, but the plate was done there. And I had my back turned. He'd gone to the restroom, she said, and I sat down to the place there and pulled a cap down over my eyes, and he had his food in a plate. This is the same man that used to do me like that. And I sat down there in that chair way down in South Georgia, and he come back and tapped me on the shoulder, and he said, "I like that." I said, "I do too. That's good food." I looked up at him, and he said, "You crazy." He said, "I'm just about ready to whoop you." I said, "No, you wouldn't whoop me. You're saved now." Saved people don't do that, do they? Thank God for Jesus. Let us stand. Thank you, Lord. Let us stand.